Terabytes is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on the show is advice, no financial, tax, legal, or any other kind of advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy. Anything you invest in is at your own risk. Do your own research and consult with professionals. Da-da-da-da. Welcome back, everybody, to Terabytes. We are here for the weekly news bites. I am joined by, as always, my lovely co-host, Peter, who now goes by @_entropian because Bitkinstein was too hard to pronounce compared to
that. It's not said that way. Said it is wrong.
We're also joined by the newest member of Terabytes. We've got Joseph at @casa_intern. Joseph, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to get into the greatest news this week.
Oh, we are very excited. And Joseph has been hard at work compiling the news for us. If you missed it, we actually did a bit more of an off-the-cuff version of News Bites over the weekend. That was on Saturday over on Twitter Spaces. We're going to continue to do that every week. That's at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Very like Terabytes happy hour vibes going on with that. So we went deep into like Bitcoin, deep into security and OPSEC, deep into the guys from Nexus Protocol jumped on. We had the guys from Playable, which is an NFT platform for fantasy sports. It went all over the place, all off the rails. So very excited to continue doing those. That and this is all based off of Joseph's tweets. So go ahead and follow him over at @casa_intern. And we have one more announcement, housekeeping, before we start the show. You might have noticed that we've had this Jong hanging around. We've talked about it a little bit. We've hinted at it. Maybe you've seen it out there on the interwebs in the Terra space. Jong hot sauce is a gochujang hot sauce. And let me just read you the label here, what it says on the label. We reimagine Korean fermented foods as healthy products, sustainable for daily consumption and palatable for the millennial consumer. We spread Korean love. Follow them at Jong Hot Sauce. This says it's good for like burgers, pizza, rice, fries, chicken, ice cream, eggs. I might actually put it on my ice cream. And what makes Jong Hot Sauce so special? Why would we take on an advertiser that has absolutely nothing to do with crypto? Well, you guys thought that Terra Luna was cool, and you thought Do Kwon, the creator of Terra Luna, was cool. If you think that Terra Luna is an impactful, world-changing product, Jung is actually created by none other than Do Kwon's wife. This is her world-changing product. And so we're bringing Jung on as an official sponsor of the show. If you want to get some Jung, there's now a website available where you can buy it. I think they deliver to like a bunch of different countries. We put the link to Jung hot sauce in the description. So check that out and get yourself some hot sauce. It's actually quite hot. So just put a little dab on your food if you're going to use it. And I Pete's never tried it. We got sent a whole case of it, but I've hoarded it all to myself. So I'll be the only one that can describe how well it tastes. Anyway, now that that's all done, gentlemen, let's dive into the news. What is our first topic that we're going to talk about today, Joseph?
All right. So the Martians have arrived and we're all going to Mars to join them. Mars Protocol has gone live. They are having their lock drop event right now. It's essentially just where you can go deposit your UST, and after a certain time period, you will be able to receive the Mars token. This is a huge event and is a huge opportunity for anyone who is trying to get into the next generation of money markets. Beyond just the Mars launch, we're also seeing some very interesting ROI tools that are going live on Flipside Crypto. I haven't had a chance to play around with those tools, but they seem to be very informative, very detailed, and very just jam-packed for everyone to have kind of an intelligent and coherent investment thesis when it comes to Mars Protocol. Evan, have you had any experiences with the Mars situations just yet?
Well, we've been kicking around the idea of how we're going to approach the Mars lock drop. We also have another special guest on the show here. It's Joseph Scant. very interesting. It seems like the Mars lock drop is quite similar to the Astroport lock drop as far as how the mechanics work. I did see in the Flipside Crypto tool that they came out with that a majority of people were staking for 18 months. I think that's...
Wow.
That's a pretty bullish fact there that most people are getting involved for the long term as far as Mars goes. Big shout out to Flipside Crypto. They do a wonderful job at doing analytics, not only for Mars, but for a ton of different projects in the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So I advise people go check that out. We don't have the link handy, of course, but maybe Pete, the screen share wizard, can bring it up. I'm putting the pressure on him.
I
Pete, have you seen the Flipside dashboard?
I have seen Flipside Dashboards. I will look for this one. Yes. I retweeted it, so I'm sure I'll be able to find it.
Yeah, so great job once again by Flipside Crypto and those guys. I do believe, and I don't want to misspeak on the Mars lock drop, but it's open now. Joseph, any idea how long it's going to be available for people to stake?
I am pulling up those dates right now, but it seems like we're going to be having it's going to be a long period, and then we'll have the rest. We'll have like the rest of the pieces coming into play coming up. I'm trying to figure that out right now, but
I've got it up. If we could activate the screen share, there we go.
There it is.
Return on investment. You see the expected return on investment. Obviously, return on investment has a lot of factors. There's price of token. There's state of world geopolitical borders. There's all sorts of things that could happen over the next 18 months. But you can actually come in here and modify what you think it's going to be. So let's say I think Mars is going to $100 or $40,000 to keep with the meme. And I'm making an insane 26,000,000% on a zero UST deposit. So that's not very nice. Let's make it 10 UST here. So yeah, you can enter your own variables here and see what you come up with. This doesn't seem right. I'm going to enter $1 Mars, 10 UST deposit. It doesn't really seem to affect. Oh, right here. Okay. I don't really know what the deposit does. I guess it just affects this Mars rewards here, and the chart is only affected by the Mars price that you enter. I could be wrong on that, but go ahead and check it out at share. It's a long link. Let's just put this link in the show notes. share.streamlit.io/incioman/Mars_lockdrop. We'll get it added to the show notes right away.
Yes. And obviously the longer that you choose to lock your UST in the vault, the more of a return you're going to get. Looks like in this circumstance, the lowest threshold, there's 3 months for a 45.87% return, the highest a 674% return. And of course, those variables are going to change depending on how many deposits go into the pools themselves, I believe. So keep an eye out for that. Martians, go ahead and stake your UST. Excited for Mars to ramp up. Excited to see how that's going to, have an impact on the markets. A lot of people are speculating that, the markets have turned a little sour due to, Bitcoin and the macro environment and whatnot. Mars launch has been good news, and people think that's the reason why Luna is holding up its price today amongst what's otherwise been a pretty ugly market. So so let's move on to the next bit of news here. We've got Kado. I know we talked this weekend about some of the on and off ramps. There's quite a few competing amongst each other. Kado has an on ramp coming up. Well, not coming up. It's actually live right now. There are three tiers. Kado, here's the thing. I don't really need to personally on-ramp, but there's KYC involved. So I tried to test it out today for $50, and then it was asking me for like all kinds of info. I totally get why Kado has to do that. In order to be compliant, this is like the hardest part of crypto. And frankly, I wish that it wasn't so, but you have to be, AML, KYC compliant or whatever. But Kado, as of right now, seems like the easiest way for anybody that's just getting involved, wants to on-ramp. Seems like the easiest way for people to on-ramp into actual UST, native UST. It's a $2 fee, no matter what, $2 flat fee. So if you're on-ramping $1,000, if you're on-ramping, $10, it might still be $2 if you're doing less. So it might actually make sense to do more if you can. And then I know that I saw a tweet today from the Kado account. They're working on a couple different things. Off-ramping is coming soon from what I've heard from DMs from the Kado team. And they're looking for auto buys for people to use as well. So looking really good. It looks like Pete has the Kado website up if we want to take a quick look at that.
Yeah, it would have been fantastic to put this up. There's a Kado payments infrastructure for Web3. Scroll down, you see the three products that they've got. Of course, Kado Pay was their debut product where you can spend stablecoins directly on things and spin for prizes and buy various products from this huge list of categories up at the top that doesn't even fit on my screen. I guess that didn't come up in the same window. But it doesn't matter. The Kato ramp is what you get if you hit this button and you go to, that's what we're discussing now. And you could just buy stable coins here. I'm going to go try it and try, even though I've never done this. It says add your wallet details and so on. And you say, so Evan, after you clicked this buy UST button, it then proceeded to ask you for KYC info?
Yes, it started asking me for social security details and addresses. And I put as many fake details in as I could. And then it asked me for my license. So, and I'm not knocking that. I understand that's a process. It's just something that I personally, for to buy $50 worth of UST, I'm not going to, you know, submit my data to another website. So I'm not trying to make it seem like a bad thing. Trust me, this is awesome. Kato has been a native Terra project. They came up, you know, basically as an OG in my mind. They were one of the very, very early projects to go through community governance for funding. They've been an iterative project. Pete mentioned the Kato Pay, which I don't know if a lot of people know this, but, you know, if you're buying things on Amazon, if you use Kato Pay, they're basically just pulling the data from Amazon and allowing you to purchase things with UST. So if you're making, you know, weekly purchases, I know like we have to buy diapers and stuff from Amazon or whatever it is, you know, household items. You could just instead pay with UST if that's something, you know, if that's your prerogative is to spend your UST. You know, a lot of people have it in Anchor Earn. So maybe use some of that earnings to buy stuff and you can get anything that's available on Amazon otherwise. So as we see Pete inputting his personal information, if anyone wants to steal his credit card details, go for it.
Not enter my birth date or anything like that, because I was aware it was being screen shared. So yeah, I assume if I had continued that it would have been pretty easy to on-ramp UST. I'll try it eventually. Like you said, I've already got other on-ramps in place. We got Leroy Jenks saying OKCoin is the best on-ramp US with native UST and Luna. We've heard from FTX and Kraken that they've either added or are adding native UST and Luna. So, of course, if you've already used crypto.com and if really pressed, have already used Coinbase and traded through KuCoin. I mean, there's been a bunch of on-ramps. It's just the more the better. And it'll then be a competitive fight for UX, a competitive fight for how streamlined that is, how whatever is the easiest with the least KYC info demand, the smoothest, the fastest, the highest limits, you know, there all be all these various competitive points that these platforms start to duke it out over. And I'm excited to see it improve all of them.
Yeah. And you're not going to find a better rate than Kato too. I'm going to make up for me, fudding them a little bit by saying I didn't want a KYC on their platform, but for $1,000 to pay a flat fee of 2 UST, you're not going to find a better fee than that anywhere. And the nice thing is this is going directly on chain into Terra onto your wallet. You're not dealing with a centralized exchange or anything like that. So, you know, if you've on-ramped in other centralized exchanges, you have to go through multiple steps to actually get that. Yeah. And this, it's just one click. Once you're KYC'd, it really is just one click. So it'll be nice to just have that go directly. Pete, you mentioned Kraken. I believe we have some Kraken news coming up next. Joseph.
So Kraken is a major exchange, and I believe their account has 1.8 million followers. I've never personally used Kraken, but it now has native UST listed on it. So everyone's going to be using UST on Kraken. It's just another testament to the spread of UST. It's just another milestone for the perpetuation of the currency. And it's exciting to see yet another exchange that is taking it seriously and using it as a form of a stablecoin. And I think in a time where we're experiencing some very scary market conditions, having UST in a major exchange is a great opportunity to start minting more UST.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that a lot of people might overlook too, that you mentioned there, Joseph. Seeing some of these major centralized exchanges that have to stay compliant actually come in and start listing assets like Luna, like native UST, Terra, native UST. That's got to give you a shot of confidence, because you know that they are paying lawyers, they're, you know, dotting their I's and crossing their T's. And so for them to bring on and put that, you know, whatever that technical resources and time and effort into actually onboarding these assets, you know that they think that it's a safe bet and it's a good long term play for them as well. We also have news from another exchange. This is from CoinMetro. Now, we brought this up over the weekend because this was in the thread that you had written for us, Joseph. CoinMetro, now they are outside of the top 100 on CoinMarketCap. They're not doing crazy amounts of volume just in the past 24 hours. I know that's probably not a good gauge, but they did 2.6 million. So like less than like an Osmosis or like a, you know, something like similar to that. But one thing that's interesting about CoinMetro is they have actually some really nice fiat to crypto markets. So, you know, if you're used to using a centralized exchange, a lot of times if you're on Binance or if you're on KuCoin, you'll see like ETH USDT or ETH USDC or ETH UST. But the interesting thing about CoinMetro is they have marketplaces actually set up to trade cryptos against the British pound, against USD, against Australian dollar, against euro. And right now you can only trade UST currently against the euro. But I do assume that they're going to, you know, introduce some other fiat marketplaces. So it'll be interesting to see how they build liquidity from those actual fiat into UST, especially for different parts of the world, because I know, you know, we don't give enough attention to our friends across the pond over there in Europe with the euro and with the British pound. So it'll be nice for them to have an option to actually trade into UST from those assets.
It opens up a new door for people to like mint. And I think for the longest time, there has been a focus on getting USD. And I think we've been kind of ignoring a greater majority of crypto users. And the fact of the matter is that the majority of crypto users are abroad. And I see Daku dropping the hands clasps in the chat. And yeah, this is a point that Daku brought up a lot in Twitter, is that we have a lot of other currencies in the world. And by just only offering UST and USD as options, it's really kind of just ignoring a massive portion of crypto users.
I want to address a question really quick related to a past topic. Can we off-ramp with Kato? Ask two people. Nick and Jay both ask. I know that's in Kato's plans. It was in their early Agora posts. It was in there. I looked through their FAQs. I couldn't find mention of it, although it might be there somewhere. As far as I know, you can't off-ramp right now, but it was in their plans and may still be in their plans. So
I might have some alpha that I can leak.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Mori, who's a good friend of mine from the Kato team, he DM'd me and said off ramps, and then he sent the soon emoji. So
it's on the roadmap 2025.
it's on the roadmap, and I know they just tweeted out today somewhere on just go look on their Twitter, on Kato's Twitter. They have like three things that they're really focused on rolling out next, and off ramping is one of those. So it's on their it's on the roadmap and in the near term. So
did they mention why it's taking so long?
No, all I heard was soon. I don't like to pester people that are building. So
it's got to be regulatory things too. But here's another good comment. GBT is a wide open market. And a lot of these stablecoins are wide open market because there aren't really incumbents, right? The big incumbents, the big stablecoins right now are US dollar for the most part, right? Tether, Circle, we talk about. So we might have some competitive advantage over if we can provide native stable coins that actually acquire some usage on Terra blockchain.
All right. Moving along, we've got some new opportunities. Tell us about the new opportunities with Crema Finance.
So this is going to be a specific opportunity for some of the yield farmers, and especially
is this Crema Finance, or is this accidentally?
Oh,
like, is this a typo or is there a new platform?
Did I goof that one?
It's Crema Finance.
Yeah, it is Crema Finance.
There's a new platform. Okay, all right.
Okay, I didn't even know that Crema Finance
existed. Crema Finance is a decentralized lending protocol. I've used it on Ethereum, and I think I've used it on maybe Binance Smart Chain. So Crema Finance is a different thing.
It is on Solana. All right. So this is a Solana.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So this is a Solana-based protocol, and I don't know exactly what they're doing, but I know that there's just a concentrated liquidity protocol. They're Solana-based, and they have launched a UST-USDC LP pool. So if anyone is trying to take shelter in these rough markets, go on ahead and head over to Crema Finance, not Crema Finance, for anyone that's confused. But yeah, there's also another opportunity that exists on Kava platforms, and Kava platforms is Ethereum based, and they have now enabled Luna vaults. You can take your native Luna and go out there, and it will be wrapped Luna once you get onto the chain. But yeah.
Do you have any idea what the yield looks like on the UST USDC LP on Crema Finance?
When I gave a look, it was in the 30%. Wow. But that could have gone down. I was really on top of this one. I'd look for, I'm a real aficionado for the stablecoin LPs.
Can we just harp on the name thing a little bit? There's a Kava platforms because there's a Kava blockchain that is a Cosmos blockchain. Protocols need to stop naming themselves the same thing as like a bunch of other protocols in the same space.
Do your research before you name your protocol, people.
Maybe Kava Platforms was first. That's totally fine. I'm not personally attacking either one. But yeah, definitely search.
Well Crema was a new name. So you're the one that.
Yeah. But remember when people used to get Nexus Protocol and Nexus Mutual confused all the time? We don't really see that anymore. But so this is an Ethereum-based thing. Okay.
Yes. Kava is an Ethereum-based thing, but it looks like...
Not the blockchain. The Kava blockchain is a Cosmos blockchain. All right. Wow. Okay. So great to see these new LPs. We always like to highlight new LPs for the humble farmers out there. What's coming up next? Oh, this is big news.
Big news. So when Doquan tweeted his original tweet announcing the Anchor yield reserves being topped off, it was at 507 million UST. So they have officially replenished a yield reserve. As of today, we're at about a 497 million UST reserve. And this is big news for anyone who's trying to take shelter and hide into Anchor Earn. I know I've been using that side of Anchor a lot lately and just kind of storing some humble stacks of UST. Personally, I do have a little bit of concern. I do believe that this is a portion of it's kind of a lengthening, kicking the can down the road, per se. I don't see a long-term solution in sight. I'm not sure if the Anchor V2 model is going to try to figure out how to make these things work. I apologize for my cats starting a fight. I have a little bit of concerns, but that just could be something that they're trying to work on and figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, I don't think that, the replenish is not meant to be more than a Band-Aid, I think. And I agree that there is definitely some cause for concern. The fact that they put so much in makes me think that because TFL and, you know, whoever, the powers that be, could have let the yield reserve go to zero, and then we would have seen that true Anchor Earn percentage yield. You know what I mean? We would have actually figured it out. And I've seen a lot of speculation, even like in our own Telegram group. One of the admins over there, his name's Wen. Big shout out to Wen. He does a great job. And he was speculating that, you know, at current with the amount of deposits, which if you look on the Anchor dashboard, the deposits for on the Earn side have shot up dramatically since this deposit, whereas the borrow has really sort of, stagnated. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, Wen had speculated that we might see like somewhere in the 6% range, which I know Doe himself has said that we would actually be closer to the 15% range. I've also seen people do the math, whatever math they're doing, and they say it's, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12%. So in my opinion, it's not as easy to really gauge. There's too many, you know, sliding scales and parameters to really like be sure what that actual yield percentage would be. So I do think that this is, you know, obviously this isn't a long-term solution, but this does give the Anchor team enough roadway to figure out how to start incentivizing more borrowing, give time for the market to maybe turn around a little bit. It's crazy to think how far Anchor's come, because when it first launched, it was like 20% in your savings account. And it was like, people don't believe that. How are we going to get people to borrow? How are we going to get people to believe that they can earn 20%. Well, I think people believe that you can earn 20% now, because there's a lot of money in that earn side. We'll have to see what the Anchor team can do. And we've got some news coming up in here now about potentially changing the Anchor tokenomics. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so this is going to be looking at specifically altering the Anchor token tokenomics. It seems like this was proposed by the Retrograde team. I'm not too familiar with Retrograde's team's work, but it seems like they're a trusted entity in the community. I believe they've also implemented some more protocol level adjustments and proposals. But this proposal is going to be focusing on introducing an escrow version of Anchor. And it's going to involve using an escrow model for governance. And it's going to incentivize people to hold on to the Anchor more And the general belief is that this will start directing more of the value towards Anchor, towards the Anchor token. And there's been a long-term meme in the community that the Anchor token is a stable coin. It's because it has been rather range-bound. It hasn't had those moments where it's on a bull run. It hasn't had those moments where it's kind of just in a downtrend. But in relative from the price market, it's kind of just stayed in the same little area. I think that this is going to be an interesting little implementation. I think that this is definitely worth conversation and worth people being aware of because Anchor is a flagship product in the ecosystem.
Now, a lot of tokens, a lot of things on other platforms, a lot of the protocols have implemented this before. So it's not something brand new. Like a lot of things in DeFi, we kind of listen to other protocols. But Cream Finance comes up for a second time. Cream Finance has Vote Escrow tokens. Curve, I think maybe the first, but Curve had them. Iron Finance had them. There's several others that have done this. And some proof of stake products, even a couple of years ago, were working on something like this. They sometimes called it something like time-weighted staking and things like that. The whole idea is that you lock your tokens for preset time periods, kind of like that Mars lock drop, where if you lock it for longer, you get better rewards. And we've seen that in a lot of ways. But in this instance, that means that gives you more votes. So like if you commit more to the future, you commit to the next 4 years, then you get more voting power because you care about the long-term future of the network, which is potentially better than the current setup where you can come in with your ANC tokens and you can maybe buy. Whoo, that was loud. You can maybe come in and buy apologies to anyone who has AirPods. You come in with like this huge amount of money and buy ANC and vote for the way you want on a proposal and then sell your ANC. You're not able to do that as much with Vote Escrow tokens. So VE ANC will be a way to try to align governance, align the platform's governance with the long-term good of the platform. And it's part of a multi-pronged approach. There's not just Vote Escrow ANC, and that's the hope of, you know, like we put $500 million in the yield reserve because all our hopes are pinned on VE ANC. Well, that's not, no, it's also many kinds of collateral and the new Anchor economics that we talked about where potentially the borrowers will actually get to keep the staked assets, and that will allow many more assets to be onboarded, and then they'll be just responsible for more UST and so on. So there are a lot of changes, including those that are coming up to Anchor, and the big deposit, the yield reserve deposit, as Evan mentioned, is a runway, right? It's a runway move. And in crypto, very often, especially over the past few years, the protocols that do the best are those that like survive, right? Are those that have runway long enough to figure out exactly what works and to find the best ideas and implement them and implement them at scale so that they can become more self-sustainable and not need things like a yield reserve.
Right. And keep in mind, too, I think a lot of people treat that yield reserve as like this ticking time bomb that's just going to go down linearly. But there are circumstances where that yield reserve can actually build. That's happened in the past. So, you know, if some crazy new protocol comes out where all of a sudden there's some insane demand for borrowing on Anchor, you could see that yield reserve begin to actually go in the opposite direction. And it's the same thing for some reason, you know, a bunch of liquidity pulls out of the earn side, you know, you could see the same thing. And I think Mars, whenever Mars goes live, there's going to be some incentives and some people are going to be intrigued and potentially pull out of Anchor Earn where they're earning 20% to something that could get them a higher yield, you know, depending on which kind of assets can start to earn higher yields over on Mars. I also just want to make one more note before we move on to the next topic here. Cash Ron and the team over at Cash, that's K-A-S-H, they have their own podcast. It's called Terralytics, Terralytics. And they just released a really cool episode. I think it was today, actually. And they had a discussion with Nate over on the Anchor Protocol team. And they actually had the head of DeFi strategy at Celsius was on the call as well. And they were kicking around some ideas talking about, you know, maybe even potentially having people who are staked enough in governance getting the 20%. Whereas, you know, maybe the default rate for people not staked in governance is a lower amount. So there's certainly a lot of interesting ideas going on around there. And big shout out to Nate over at the Anchor Protocol team and everybody over there, of course. But, you know, I've seen a lot of discussions that they're having. They're working around the clock to to make this work, and they're bringing in all kinds of good ideas. So I am bullish Anchor long term. I think they're going to definitely get this thing cranking and rolling for a long time. All right, let's move on. What do we got next here, Joseph?
Okay, I might not be the best person to talk about Genesis or the Genesis pool that has launched on Edge Protocol, as I am a US-based user and I am not allowed to touch it, apparently. But regardless, Edge Protocol has launched a very unique new pool, and it's going to be an interesting environment. It's the first kind of community-based money market, and it's just a new place for lunatics to head over and start leveraging and to start experimenting with strategies throughout the ecosystem. And I'm sure this is going to open up a lot of doors for people that are seeking to leverage Yield Farm throughout the community. I'm not sure if you guys have had the pleasure to try out Edge Protocol, but I've been seeing some great things throughout the community.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to try out the Edge Protocol beta yet. I'm excited to give it a try. Someone from Edge actually reached out to me and DM'd me and asked, because I think it might have been the last News Bites, Pete was messing around and he put Bagel in. He punched Bagel in on their screen. If you look at their landing page, you can. It's meant to be a money market for any asset. So you basically, it's money market as a service, I think they call it. And Pete punched in like Bagel, like to make a Bagel money market, which was, a joke. But they actually DM'd me and they're like, hey, are you serious about doing a Bagel money market? Like, we should collab on something. So I don't think they meant like, do we actually want to do a Bagel money market?
Guys, we're based in the US, remember? No tokens.
Right. And so, yeah. And I think we might have to finally admit that I don't own a Bagel shop to people out there, because I get a lot of DMs asking where it is. So sorry for people out there. But anyway, yeah, looking forward to Edge Protocol as they continue growing. The interface is super slick, so definitely excited for that to continue. Let's move on. Next bit of news, we have Atlo Protocol. Now, they've been on the show before, so excited to see what they're working on. What's going on with Atlo Protocol, Joseph?
So Atlo had their first proposal up for voting, and their proposal is for MintDAO. MintDAO is seeking to use Atlo Protocol as their launch platform. And it's really interesting to kind of see Atlo kind of flourishing. I caught the episode that you had them on. And from when I started making my reports in the start of January, it was the start of the year, Atlo was a very little known protocol. And it's really exciting to see them kind of flourishing and starting to have their first little boats going on. And they have a very interesting voting incentivizing structure, because I've seen a lot of launch platforms that don't really encourage people to participate in the protocol governance. But it seems like Atlo is focusing on giving more of a use case for participating.
Yeah, I do like that approach by Atlo. And I'll be the first to admit, I didn't know much about them before. I had to research them a bit before they came on the show. I am very excited for Minerva, not to take away from the other projects that are launching, but Minerva, there's been whispers about Minerva for a while. It's one of those projects that's attempting to bridge the gap between the physical world and the digital world. And I do believe that they're NFTs that represent like actual investment in like barrels of wine or something. So
yeah,
I'm very interested to hear about Minerva. And if anybody from Minerva is watching, you guys should join us on Saturday when we do our spaces, because I'd love to talk to you and have the community be able to ask some questions about this, especially with your launch on the horizon. So
I did join a Minerva space probably a couple of weeks ago, kind of just stopped by seeing what was going on. And one of the team members on there, and they're not going to strictly stay on the wine side. Right now, wine is their kind of their flagship, but they're kind of venturing in a direction where they want to experiment with NFT technology and NFT appreciating components. And they're really seeking to find real world application to NFT technology. And it's exciting to see that happening in Terra, because that's going to just give another use case for UST. So,
you mean there's more than just pictures of monkeys for our NFTs? My mind is blown.
I kind of appreciate the monkeys.
Speaking of, I don't know if you have this as a thing, but speaking of pictures of monkeys and NFTs, we can go ahead and ditch the topic, because unless you have this topic, the OpenSea hack. You saw that on ETH Denver yesterday, and this isn't just a topic by itself. I do have a Terra-focused tweet following up and a few comments. The OpenSea hack basically was a big phishing attack where a bunch of users, I think it was 32 users, 32 users with some NFTs of significant value, including at least one Bored Ape, several Mutant Apes, and several other NFT series you might recognize. They had some kind of phishing attack. We don't know exactly when, we don't know exactly how, but maybe they clicked a bad email, went to a bad site at some point, and basically authorized, did an approval for this account to spend their NFTs, their OpenSea NFTs. And so the hacker didn't take advantage of that, or maybe couldn't. I'm not clear on all the details yet, until ETH Denver, right in the middle of ETH Denver. I think it was when OpenSea, somebody from OpenSea was talking, but right in the middle of ETH Denver, the hacker struck and stole a bunch of NFTs, millions of dollars worth of NFTs, 18 batches, numerous NFTs from 32 users. And so this, you know, this, I almost wrote an article on how what's up with this approval allowance setup, right? Where you have these authorizations and like, why don't you see that a lot in Cosmwasm and Terra, for instance? Like normally when you send tokens and NFTs and interact, you don't have to do approvals and allowances. But sometimes that kind of thing comes up because we do use standards that let you approve approve an account to use all your NFTs or allow an account to use all your tokens, these authorizations. In Cosmwasm, you tend to develop where like you can just send a thing and that triggers a thing rather than having to approve a contract to send your things around and allow it to send around. Anyway, so you're less likely to see this problem in Cosmwasm, but it definitely hit the Ethereum community pretty hard and OpenSea pretty hard. And one of the responses that Will the Shill, whose name changes all the time, I like the water closet emoji in his initials. It's pretty great. He says, in response to the OpenSea incident, which was just 2 days ago, he proposes these security initiatives: anti-phishing safety, signed TX requests, default safe mode, and communication of the transaction side effects. All of these could be upgrades in Terra Station. He goes into an explanation of these things. Like MetaMask has some of these features sometimes. It warns you about certain things like phishing attempts and so on. And he got a reply from from the guy who runs, who does most of the Terra Station development, saying all is reasonable to do, but that's the end of the discussion so far. So anyway, have you guys heard of the OpenSea hack?
Yeah, I actually find it interesting to be hearing from that. I forgot his name. The guy who you just showed, who runs the. Yeah, I've actually been keeping up with the situation on Extraterrestrial Finder as well. I don't know if you've been seeing that, but there has been some talk that Moon Midas in the community has been kind of pioneering getting some adjustments made to Terra Station using Extraterrestrial Finder as opposed to the traditional blockchain reader that we have on Terra Station. And Doquan has even gone as far as to say that Extraterrestrial Finder is like a good example of something that the community made and has outgrown an official product from TFL. So I'm actually interested to see if they will implement any of those things, because I just kind of get a vibe that changes aren't happening. And I want to see what's going on there deeper. I don't know if it's just that it's not priority or if it's they don't trust a little bit of the developments.
Well, changes have definitely happened in Station, but yeah, I don't know about Finder for a long time. One of the things that was funny on Extraterrestrial Finder is yesterday, somebody said, well, the only advantage that Terra Finder has over Extraterrestrial Finder, the only advantage is that you can look up Terra name service addresses there. And 26 hours later, Extraterrestrial Finder said, yeah, okay, we just added this. And it was added, and now you can. So no more advantages.
Just ended it, yeah.
Yeah. So it's great to see how quickly they develop things over there.
But yeah, no, the whole OpenSea situation, I actually kind of started wondering what would happen if that happened in Terra. What measures would there be that occurred? And it kind of gets back to the whole question of where does the decentralization stop? You know, like what time do you act measures? What times do you perform security measures? What times do you prevent from things happening? I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do think, I don't want to misspeak here, but on OpenSea as of late, or at least before the hack happened, there was a banner that was popping up that kept saying to migrate. And there was some kind of update going on. And I was like, I just don't I don't migrate. I don't click things like that because I just like out of laziness, I'm like, no, like I'm not doing that. But I think apparently that was how the phishing attack started, was through people clicking on that banner. And it was an official banner from OpenSea, at least as far as I understand. I could be totally misspeaking, so maybe I shouldn't have said that. But
yeah, I think that's the maybe the wrong slant on it.
Okay.
Well, it's like, I think that's maybe the wrong slant on it. That said, there are some very unsubstantiated questions about somebody on the OpenSea team who had NFT stolen and then immediately returned, which has opened some doubts. But I don't want us to really dive into those details until we know more about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm like saying OpenSea was like malignant in their posting of the banner. I just thought maybe it was some kind of, you know, the banner might have been using like whatever link that was using some kind of third party or something, and there was a, you know, some kind of attack vector on that side. So I don't want anybody from OpenSea to think that I'm suggesting that, but we will see. I'm sure everything will come out on the watch. Anyway, let's move right along and stop slandering other projects out there in the crypto space. The Kujira proposal to change staking rewards is out, and this is actually pretty big news from Kujira. I think this is a really positive thing for some of their token emissions. And it looks like Pete's got a little screen share for us to talk about this one.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I'm ready to talk about it. I just had it. You know how I have a list of tweets that, like, in case we miss this, I can rapid fire through them? Well, that was one of them. So somebody else, please, who's more aware, tell me about S. Kuji and Apex B Assets.
So S. Kuji is going to be their token, the way that they're going to start redirecting all of the gains that happen throughout the protocol. So when a liquidation event happens using, like, if it's a liquidation event that happens on Ethereum, SKUJI holders will start receiving portions of those rewards. Any kind of those Apex assets that go through their liquidation events, anything that gets exchanged, anything that gets through in there, will be getting portions of that. And portions of those events will start going to SKUJI stakers. And I think that's going to start realigning people to start holding KUJI and to actually start staking it. So very interesting, very fundamental change here. We could see some profound effects on the KUJI price token after this.
An important note here, if you are an existing KUJI governance staker, a lot of times these things happen and you can, you know, in perpetuity into the future, you can switch over. Well, that's not the case here. You need to do it between now and Tuesday, March 1st. They say if you don't do it, if you're on vacation and you don't hear that, you're listening March 2nd and you're panicking right now, well, your funds are safe, but you'll only be able to claim rewards going forward, not the rewards you missed out on in the meantime.
All right, moving right along, we've got some news out of our friends from Down Under, Loop Finance. What's going on with Loop Finance, Joseph?
So Loop Finance has been kind of a hub for a lot of people that are trying to yield farm. There's a lot of opportunities out there, a lot of interesting LPs. You can get some good APYs over there, but they are kind of trying to alter their staking situation. There was a kind of a loophole, or at least an unforeseen mechanism when it came to what they were doing with the staking. Yeah, no pun intended, but but there was a loophole that people were finding that it was actually disadvantage. You were at a disadvantage if you were doing the 18-month staking. I believe that the people that were doing the smaller time periods would do the 6 months and then they would re-LP, restake, and then re-reward. And the way that the rewards were paying out, people that were 18 months staked were actually yielding less than the shorter term stakers. And so the Loop team has committed themselves to doing the rewards regularly on Fridays, and they're going to start evaluating it on a week-by-week basis to make sure that 18-month stakers are getting their money's worth for being a long-term staker.
Yes, and go check out our sister program over on Terra Crumbs. Tom Norwood was the latest guest, and he joined, and it was just him and Poppy and Elijah. So if you know anything about the history of Loop and Poppy and some of his criticisms on Twitter, it's worth a watch. It's good to see people, you know, mend fences and have productive conversations. So glad to see that. We also got some news here out of Stater, and let's talk about Stater, Joseph.
Yeah, this is huge. For me, I'm going kind of risk off in terms of the portfolio, not financial advice, obviously, because I'm not a professional. Regardless, this is a great opportunity for everyone who is trying to go risk off in this environment. So Stater Labs is the notorious ones for kind of bringing in the new phase and ushering the new era of liquid staking. You can now get Luna X from over there, but they've taken it a step further. They've joined the Mirror team, and Mirror has developed a vault where you can collateralize your Luna X. So you can now go to Mirror Protocol and use Luna X as a collateral. And I'm mostly interested from in this perspective that you can also farm commodities on Mirror. So theoretically, if you're in a bearish environment, you could short the S&P 500 and then long farm any commodity that you would like, especially in these kind of troubling times with the Ukraine and Russia situation. But this is a good little alternative for anyone who's trying to hold on to Luna through this market downturn, and just kind of provides a new area for people to try to do some more stable farming.
Nope, too late. yeah, you can find out a lot more on the Stater Labs Twitter about all the great things coming out at Stater Labs. It was just Stake Plus released recently, which is kind of like staking pools without pools. And now Luna X Collateral. This has been in the works for a little while, but here it is. So congrats, Stater team, and anyone interested in Stater, go check out Stater Labs more. Maybe we'll have Stater Labs on again sometime soon. We last time we had them was months ago before they launched any of this, and they've been delivering some things. So
I'm wondering why Stater hasn't like, you know how in Anchor V2 they're talking about these liquid staking derivatives.
Yeah.
And you know, BETH is run through Lido. I'm wondering why Stater wouldn't try and set something up to just have X Luna run through, like, in a similar fashion.
I actually asked that in our first interview, but I can't remember if it was on the air or afterwards. Mm-hmm. I think it was during the episode, and they just kind of winked. But it's an obvious end game is to have it as an alternate once there. I mean, right now there's $320 million of Luna staked there. Once those numbers are higher, and they've obviously they're trying to do Solana. If you go to Stater Labs, Doc, here, I'll pull it up really quick. It's obvious that they've got plans to do these their own staking derivatives of these other assets. They've got Solana and Ethereum here. I mean, that's what's on Anchor right now and what's coming to Anchor soon. It's pretty clear that they do plan to have this as an alternate B asset eventually. So an alternate, which is great. I mean, everyone wants to, we all want to have alternatives and not have these choke points, right? All right, what's up next? Galactic Angels saving the planet. All right, I'm going to show off, at great risk to myself, I'm going to show off my own Galactic Angel.
Well, you're just going to drive up the value. I don't think there's any risk here.
Am I going to drive up the value? I have committed to not sell unless it's for charity. So I'm not going to sell this thing unless it's all donated to the charity. There's the beautiful Galactic Angel that they dropped me for the Terabytes Pod participation in Restore Earth. So thank you so much, Galactic Angels, and Angel Protocol. I mean, I tweeted along with that like I've always wanted to swing my crypto work eventually into charity work, if that makes sense. Like I, the only reason I do crypto work, I mean, yes, I'm passionate about the community and Luna and how it can change the world and all these projects and how they can really help people. But like, I then want to take, things and swing them into even more direct humanitarian focus. And here's Angel Protocol already doing it. So it's like, I'm already seeing that come alive. And so it was really good to get the Galactic Angels drop. They're beautiful pieces. And there were 7 tiers of them. The top 3 tiers are all custom. And then the bottom 4 are like generative. There's maybe some functionality coming in the future for Galactic Angels holders. Galactic Punks holders are part of the Galactic DAO. Galactic Angels might have some other kind of DAO or perk. Right now, there is one. You can go to the Angel Protocol Discord and get like verified that you have a Galactic Angel, and you get a special tag or whatever it's called. but you know, maybe there's future functionality. I don't know, but they're cool anyway, and they're a nice nod to the people who donated at the end of 2021 to help with the Restore Earth campaign, which brought in over $1 million into those three charities that were involved with the Restore Earth campaign.
Yep, huge impact. Great to see another Luna OG project that started with a tweet from our friend Chauncey over there, and it's awesome to see them make such a huge impact. And Pete's got his, and he says he's showing off his Galactic Punk angel at great risk to himself. Meanwhile, it's his Twitter picture, so I don't think that it's news for anybody. let's move along here. We're going to get to the final couple topics, which is random shout-outs. Now, I'm going to give you guys some time to pick up your random shout-outs. I have a random shout-out. Sorry to Todd from the Water Dow team. I know you had sent me some DMs on Telegram, and I did not get back to you, so shame on me. But big shout-out to the Water Dow. They are trying to bring clean water to 50 million people in 10 years, so go check them out. They just published a little article on their Medium, and it is medium.com/@thewaterdow, DAO, of course. And check them out and give them some support. And if they're interested, they should also drop by on Saturday for our less formal version of news. Gentlemen, do you have any random shout outs for the people watching?
Yes, I have a string of tweets. So here we go. Some of these might be something that we should have shown earlier. And let's take them one at a time. The first one is the famous Siok, or how do you say, does anyone speak Korean here? Stanford, remember Stanford 11-year-old legend who had proposals and papers and so on. He says, 2 days ago, find and make a small protocol on Terra. Looking for interested Rust-knowing peeps. No details yet, but watch out for a new protocol coming to Terra there. Second up, maybe you've seen Messier.art. Which is a new marketplace. I know it's somehow connected to the, the Galactic Punks or the Galactic DAO, and somehow connected there. I don't know what the arrangement is, but you can come in and see a bunch of screens related to their NFT marketplace and also NFT creation and so on. This maybe isn't the main thread, but it is at Messier, that's M-E-S-S-I-E-R underscore art, a new NFT marketplace. Now, they do say it's a curated NFT marketplace. And so coming up next, I'm just going to fire through these. I don't think we've mentioned this group, and I don't know anything about them, but I do want to toss it out there. Aerial Money, Universal Perpetuals on Terra Money. Now, I haven't seen any major progress, but again, we've never mentioned them. So if anyone's interested, they can go check them out at Aerial, like the Little Mermaid character, protocol. There's a Discord and so on, but not really. There's some giveaways and things recently here, and some like statements on what they want to build, but not really any. I mean, this is not really a UI display here, so I don't know how far along they are. One more protocol that I don't think we've mentioned before, correct me if I'm wrong, is Proteus. Again, I don't know what this is. In Switzerland, high yield on stablecoins and leave your 9-to-5. And Solar DAO has partnered with them. So that's just another. I'm just tossing out protocols that I have recently discovered and don't know much about them yet. Okay, so they had they're having an IDO on StarTerra. Now that's pretty common. There's been a number of IDOs on StarTerra. StarTerra has definitely delivered lots of IDOs to its community. And they had Proteus Finance on. The final tweet I want to leave you with is this great summary by Ryan Lyon. Metrics on Terra look good. Now, just my luck, as soon as we talk about this, Luna will dump. But Luna's held up pretty well in the current market. And Ryan Lyon has some suggestions as to why. You see, he's a fellow Galactic Angel holder. And he says UST supply is up. Very true. It's over 12 billion now. Luna supply down. Luna's been burning. Multiple new centralized exchange listings and pairs. We've talked about them here on the show. Premium DeFi projects launching. We're having things like Mars launch. Prism just launched. We know Lavana will follow somewhat soon after Mars. Not sure on timelines there, but premium DeFi projects launching. The second highest total value locked, just behind Ethereum. On off-ramps improving, another thing we talked about, the NFT market growing. I just showed a new marketplace that's looking pretty snazzy. Anchor funded for another year at least. Never bet against the moon. And speechless.
Joseph, do you have any random shout-outs for us this week?
To be honest, no, I don't. I think that the best shout out for me that kind of gave me the mood was when Doquan tweeted out regarding Canada, the situation with Canada. And let me see if I can pull it up on my screen, but I've never done this before. So I'm live figuring out how to do this.
It's like every Zoom call anyone's ever had.
Yeah. Is it streaming? Okay. Oh, I'm a scrub for having my top bar open. But regardless, this tweet kind of gave me the mood, regardless of what was going on in the market. And this kind of just gave me a big, just a good feeling. Just kind of all this FUD that's been going on, all this concern that's been going on with the freezing of assets, just a lot of federal overreach that's going on in the markets. And Doquan kind of just summarized it perfectly. UST can never be frozen, and you need to go to UST if you want to become sovereign. And it's just a testament to why we're here, and it kind of follows the ethos of what Ryan Loewen was covering. So,
very nice. If we want to hear,
I was going to say,
do you have another thing?
We've got one more topic that we got to cover before we wrap up here, and that is. Now I'm putting you guys on the spot. What are you excited for this week? I will start while you guys desperately think of something that you're excited about this week. This space is so non-exciting. It's like, what are we in? It's like we're in like shipping products or something. It's just so boring. I am excited for the Lavana Faction Wars. They're dropping, going live tomorrow. So if you haven't staked your talisman yet, go ahead and do that. I know young Steph over here who... big clap it up for him. He runs the streams. He does all the fancy animations and stuff behind the scenes. He's going to be participating and probably not getting any work done for us over the next couple months as he participates in those faction wars. Also, one piece of news that we didn't mention is the Mirror Steering Committee.
Yes.
Somehow we missed that, but I did just want to comment on that real quick. I am very excited to see Mirror and the power of what that platform can actually do. Some speculation and some questions over the team being anonymous. I don't know. I can see why, because the team, Mirror is like kind of touching the edge of like the third rail with, SEC lawsuits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We did see Nacho Don throwing his hat in the ring. And you know what? For how controversial Nacho Don is, I think Nacho Don should be on the steering committee. I don't care. People don't like him, but he's got balls. And, just to reference another Doquan tweet, sometimes it just takes balls and resolve. And, he's going to fight with people. He's going to piss people off. But sometimes you need someone to just, have that perspective for your team. So I think he's face doxed. We all know what the guy looks like. We see him on the beach all the time. So excited to see Mirror and the Mirror Steering Committee. Pete, what are you excited for this week?
I mean, I'm biased, but the Deviants Alpha launch, and I want to stream. I'm going to stream on this channel playing some games. At first, it's going to be basically packs aren't going to be opened yet because the final balancing is still going on. So it'll be on the 28th in 1 week from today. I don't know the exact time, an alpha launch, and you can pick from one of 12 pre-built packs. And run those pre-constructed packs, get a feel for the game. And then in the next phase, you can use any cards you want, even if you don't own them yet, in like the second phase of the alpha in order to build decks and try things out. And that's really gathering a bunch of balancing info. Machines are also worrying, calculating, like running decks against each other and so on. So you're going to be participating in the alpha. The only thing you have to do to participate in the alpha is have a pack or mint a pack. And then you can just... have access to any cards you want for free in order to try it out and to help the team with the final balancing, because they've committed to not tweak the cards after. Once you get the NFT, you're not going to get nerfed like a lot of games do. You know, like have your NFT banned or canceled, or like its attack halved or whatever. So the balancing is very intricate and very involved and needs a lot of data, a lot of players. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to stream some games here. It'll just be against AI at first, but then can't wait to go PvP up against Midas, my legendary nemesis in the Deviants Wars. That's my thing. I did want to throw out there before we head over to Joseph for the final, what are you excited about? If you wanted to hear more about the Canada situation and truckers and UST and so on, we've been doing, we just started a new like Happy Hour sequel. The successor to Happy Hour is a, what's the time on that? It's a Friday evenings? No, it's Saturday.
Saturday.
It's Saturday mornings at around 11:30.
I don't remember when it is.
yeah. Hangover from the night before. It's 11:30 in the morning on Saturdays. Don't quote me on that. I think it's 11:30, right? And we get on Spaces, Eastern Time, EST. We get on Spaces, the three of us and others. We had guests dropping in. We had Sefi. We had Tundra from over at Nexus and other protocols dropping in. Donk, who made an appearance, but he was doing groceries, so he couldn't chat. And then we had some people coming in and giving questions and other feedback. It's a live chat through the news, this kind of news, and also what other news has transpired since. But we dove much more deep into it. We talked for a couple of hours about the trucker situation and UST and decentralized currency and the SEC and regulations and security and how you want to try to not be a target and how you can make yourself basically wrench proof, right? The wrench attack and security and Bitcoin and Luna and Bitcoin UST and Bitcoin backing UST and Doe and Bitcoin and all these topics that are kind of tangential to the main news of the week. We covered them. We talked about them for a good couple hours. If you want to listen to it, you can find it on the recording on our Twitter. Twitter Spaces recordings are out for 30 days. If it's too late, you can go to Terra Spaces, where they've released the episode as a podcast, and you can follow up there. So make sure you join us if you're interested in this and you want to participate or just listen in Saturdays at 11:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time.
All right, Joseph, what are you excited for this week? I think we've given you ample time to make something up.
Okay, well, it's not necessarily this week. It's going to be the following Monday, or it's going to be Monday, February 28th.
You better not say this one again next week, then.
I'll get a new one. Trust me, I'll get a new one. But on February 28th, Vertex Protocol is going to be launching.
Wow.
I'm not sure if you guys are aware of what Vertex is, but yeah, you're going to be able to have on-chain FX markets. I'm super excited for that. I'm super excited for the potential of just giga-longing Luna, and just hoping for the best. But yeah, no, I'm super excited for that. But I'm also very excited to kind of just watch how the market, how the stock market, the NASDAQ performance, how everything else kind of fluctuates the market. And it's kind of connected to my excitement for Vertex. Because like, if you're in a very weird, but like weird political, weird financial market, Vertex kind of gives you the power to, from the comfort of your own Terra ecosystem, to kind of just explore and to kind of just pretend like you're smarter than the markets.
Yeah, it's pretty great. We had Vertex on the show about a month ago. So shocked to see that already they're going live. That's pretty great. So cool. If nobody else has anything to say, we can wrap the show up. What do you think?
Yeah. Let's give out one more shout out to our favorite hot sauce and sign us off.
One more shout out to our favorite hot sauce. That's Zheng hot sauce. If you go into the description, you can buy Zheng hot sauce for $9.99. It'll be shipped to your door, and it goes great on what? It goes great with pizza, with salads, with tacos, with rice bowls, with chickens, with fries, with ice cream, and with eggs. I don't know why I said chickens, plural. This stuff's good, and you know what? This little bottle, it might seem little in my, you know, large gargantuan hand, but this stuff's spicy. It packs a kick. You could put like one little drop on whatever you're eating, your rice bowl, and I'm telling you, it packs a punch. And listen, Luna, okay, Luna was so 2021, all right? Doquan, his stuff, who cares what he's doing? It's all about Zheng and what Do's wife has created here. The magic is in this bottle. I'm telling you, if you missed Luna, if you were late on Luna, get in on Zheng, because it's on the bottom floor and it's going to the moon. So for everybody listening on the podcast, we love it. What? Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, Dark Horse says testnet only. I think that's Vertex. Is that yes. That's got to be what he's talking about. Oh, okay. Just qualification then. Vertex Protocol launching on testnet. All right, so back to you, Evan.
Ah, okay. He wasn't talking about Jong being on testnet. Jong doesn't even have testnet. It launches mainnet right away. If you want Jong hot sauce, you got to go buy some. There is no testing involved. You just go all in on Jong. Anyway, thank you. Anybody that's listening, if you're listening on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, it'd be awesome if you could leave us a review, 5-star review. You don't even have to write anything. That just helps us get more exposure. YouTubers, people on YouTube, like, rate, share, subscribe, do all the fun stuff. And as always, continue discovering Terra.